Blog Talk Radio.
It's beginning of recorded time. Man has looked upward at the stars. Our early predecessors of enlightenment could barely talk, yet the stars in the sky were held forth their minds and imagination into early theories about what our existence. These theories would change as man began to explain. Began to expand their reach and knowledge. Stars became gods, and these gods became inspiration, law, and a way of life. Yet another way of thinking was formed. Mining, fishing, hunting, agriculture, navigation, calendars, and yes, even time itself was discovered. The sundials, eventually clocks, or watches. Science and philosophy, arts, are all direct offspring of man's forever evolving mind. And that, my people, is a beautiful thing. Trial and error, exploration, solving the unsolvable, finding cures for the uncurable. Science has reached the places faith has forgotten. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aces in the Wild. For those that may not know what atheism is, let me break it down for you. We do not believe in God or gods, devils, or any supernatural beings. We believe in logic and proof. Most of us believe in compassion, love, empathy, and basic human rights. Yeah, like every movement, religion, political parties, or social groups, there are your extremists. There are angry atheists, like there are angry theists. But unlike atheists, most religions promote hatred, oppression, and genocide. For those that escape the machine like myself, we view the world differently. We see the beauty and the ugly for what they are. Nature is nature. We are human, and we are learning. I'm an atheist, and this is my journey into free thought. Good evening, guys. How y'all doing tonight? You got to kind of forgive me. A couple of distractions there. I know you guys got my full undivided attention. It's a good night in ATL. The weather just slowed up. It was stormy. Now it's cleared out a little bit. The clouds are kind of clear where we at. And so I'm here discussing you guys, atheism. Now, some of you guys probably wondering why I decided to talk about this. There's no secret. Those that have been following me for years on Facebook, Instagram, or know me in real life know that I'm living out loud. I'm proud of the fact that I'm an atheist. I promote atheism. You know what I'm saying? It's not a religion, what some people want to classify it as, because there's no real lifestyle. You just don't believe. And what a lot of people want to know is why I don't believe. So I'm going to share with you guys my story. Now, I'm from the South, Atlanta, Georgia, to be exact. All part of the Bible Belt. And like a lot of people here, I grew up, you know, in a religiously heavy family on both sides, from deacons to pastors, Wednesday afternoon, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon in church heavily, visiting different churches, doing church programs. I grew up in it. And like everybody else that's in it, yeah, I was vaccinated at a young age. I was told I was supposed to live this way, supposed to believe in this, not supposed to mess with these people. You know, everything that falls in religion. I think my first time was questioning when I was actually little. My mother was in a very bad relationship, a lot of domestic violence. I suffered a lot in their relationship. I was sexually abused. There's no secret there. I put that out before. And, you know, as I was going through that at the age of 5 and 6, you know, the only source of sanctuary was the church on Sundays, but it never seemed to help. I ended up right back in the same situation that I only escaped for a couple of hours. But I was quickly told, you know, that was God's will. I never told anybody my secret. I kept that with me until about maybe 2.5 years ago, when I finally decided to talk to my psychologist about it. It felt a little good, but, you know, it was a rabbit hole. But it did take me back to that point in time, you know, that I did question early on as a young age. But I was always threatened with going to hell if I asked too many questions. So fast forward to my teenage years, you know, which was supposed to be, you know, typical teenage rebellion bullshit. But for me, by that point in time, religion didn't really seem to be the answer for anything. I looked around my neighborhoods, my school, my family. I seen the plight of my people. I think the issues that was being plagued with every day, and I noticed that every Sunday people congregated to the richest house on the block, which was the church, amidst all the rubble, the condemned houses, the raggedy-ass projects, the broken-down duplexes in my neighborhood. Yet the church was all nice and dandy. The motherfucking church is the good. So I sat back and I questioned that. I thought about, you know, I took a trip to a plantation when I was younger. I noticed the little raggedy-ass slave houses just set behind the master's house. And that sight was very haunting to me. And I heard the stories about, you know, how the slaves of Mike, you know, put on their Sunday's best, which was clean, old master's clothes, basically. And they would congregate into the back of the house and listen to the master tell these tales of the Bible and reassure them that, you know, if they do what they're supposed to do on earth and serve their earthly master, then God might have a place for them in his heaven. He might. And that's the same thing we was going through. Did I give up my belief? No. It was hard because I've been taught this all my life. I struggled with it years on. I even left and tried different religions. Hell, paganism. I even tried Islam. But shit, I love pork chops and I love bacon. So I always ended right back there. And time went by, you know, I joined the military. I just remember going overseas, man. I remember going overseas and checking out some of these countries and some of these heavily religious countries and realize the people there, they're not educated. They're fighting amongst themselves. They're squabbling. They're fighting for the crumbs. And only a select few there were actually reaping the benefits of anything. And the ones that were smart enough to get out of those situations, all seemed to have one thing in common. They all came back with the exact book that crippled them to take advantage of the people they were smart enough to get away from. That's religion for you. So I seen this. What did it do for me? What did it do to me? Made me think a lot. That was my first cruise. My second cruise, pretty much first of the same, I went to different countries. I paid attention. I watched the same thing that was going on. I started to question even more. It wasn't until I got out of the military. 5 years removed from the military, I believe. I got out in 2004. This was about Yeah, about right around 2010, I believe. And I just, you know, by that time I had reread the Bible like for the third time, and you know, it's nothing's really adding up. I'm starting to free myself. I'm starting to think for myself. I'm not asking anybody else's advice and opinion because I've heard it all. I'm ciphering out information I've heard from these people since, you know, I was a kid. It's not making sense. I was insane. I was part of a machine. I was praying, praying, praying. I was doing the exact same thing, expecting for a different outcome. And nothing changed. We were still suffering. I mean, nothing changed. All I seen was more hate. I seen religion for what it truly was. A brainwashing tool designed to conquer people and ultimately rule the world with the right person, with the run with it. You see the Roman, you see the Roman Catholic Church try it. You see England try it. So we know it's true. I mean, I was seeing all these things. And it was just time for me to wake up. Yeah, I fought it. I denied it. You know, I kept pushing forward. It wasn't until my son's second birthday that I realized that I can no longer believe in faith. I no longer have faith. Faith is following blindly without question. I'm not going to put a blindfold on and walk across a highway. Why the hell would I follow anything blindly without questioning anything? Why would I follow anything if there is no proof? There is no proof. Religion is just here. It's for the uneducated. It's for those that refuse to wake up. It's for those that need a crutch. It's for those that are too weak to do it for themselves. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just keeping it real with you. This is Ace in the Wild. I keep everything 100. You can hate it or you can love it. But the truth remains the same. For those that are listening, feel free to give us a call in. The number here is as follows. 323-642-1668. Now, on my journey to atheism, when it started, when I finally officially decided to come out, you know, and denounce religion, and to tell people that I was no longer religious, it was hard. It was really, really hard. Before I get more into my story, I have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. What's your name? Hey, how you doing? What's your name, caller? What's up?
Yeah, am I on? I'm not sure. Who. Hello?
What's your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Darrell Mitchell.
Oh, Darrell, what's going on, my brother?
Who's this? Is this Ace?
This is Ace. You're on Ace
in
the Wild.
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm coming in kind of late, man. I forgot the show was on. I was doing something. But, yeah, man, I'm calling from California, man. I definitely can relate, man. I went through all of that stuff you were just talking about, man. And I haven't been cut off from my family and nothing crazy like that, but definitely trying to deal with some black folks, man. It's really hard now when you're a non-believer.
Yes, it is, man. It's like, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, it's really like, you know, spotting a fucking unicorn. Even though now I'm running across a lot of more people that, you know, a little bit more skeptical, you know, some actually, you know, aren't, you know, religious, but, you know, they're afraid, you know, to truly just come out and just live out loud. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're afraid, you know, because, you know, they don't want, you know, their family, you know, to turn their back on them or lose friends. Which, I mean, lucky for me, my family, on my family side, you know, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, highly religious. Deacons and pastors and whatnot, you know, they're still working on saving my soul, You know, they've been doing that shit now for almost like 8 years, you know. But I mean, I have lost friends, though. You know, I have lost quite a few friends. I mean, some guys I was really close with, you know. And, I mean, and, you know, it sucks, you know. It does suck. And how old were you when you officially became an atheist?
Man, it's hard to say because it was like a 25-year transformation, man. I mean, I'd say starting at 25, I really started reexamining it really, really hard. And then by the time I hit about 40, about 40 years old, I went from agnostic skeptic to just straight-up atheist. So it took me about 15 years to get there, but hell, I was always skeptical. I remember the last thing I said right before I got baptized when I was 15 years old. I asked the minister of the church, I said, what if none of this stuff is true? You know what he told me? He said, he said, it has to be. It's too perfect. And I was like, okay. And you know what else he said? He hit me with Pascal's wager right after that. He said, hey, what have you got to lose? And then I just said, well, you're right. I just thought to myself, let me just go ahead and do this so it'll stop bugging me about it, you know, because
right.
I do have nothing to lose. I mean, I can just go along and, you know, and plus I wanted to make my mother happy because I figured she'd get off my back because, you know, we had a bad relationship. And I figured if I did this, I'd probably stay out of trouble for at least 6 months.
Oh,
so that's another thing that motivated me. But, man, you know, one of the biggest problems I've had is because, you know, I used to live in Atlanta. Man, I was down there for 10 years.
Right.
From 02 to 12, I was in Gwinnett County. And the biggest problem I had was trying to date, man. I mean, black women run from you like you got leprosy when you say you don't believe in God. Oh, my goodness. And then they ask you all these dumb-ass questions. And when you try to talk logically and explain to them why you feel that way, they just don't want to hear it. It's like nothing you can say makes any sense to them. They would rather date a dude that's molesting kids, high on drugs, in and out of prison or something like that, and say he believed in Jesus, than a really, really good guy who's doing really good for himself, financially secure, all of that, but he says he's a non-believer. It's crazy,
yeah,
man.
Hey, you know what's wild? You know what's wild? About 5 years ago in a group I was in, I actually made a post because, you know, that was like I guess that was the angry phase I was going through. You know, it's like phases of this shit. And so I was kind of aggravated by it. And I made a post. I said, yo, would you rather date an atheist or a drug dealer? And all the women say a drug dealer. Like, yeah, like, I'm dead for real, dude. Like I'm so honest about that shit. It was an Atlanta-based group I was in. And, like, I couldn't believe it, dude. Like, I really couldn't believe it, man. Like, it shocked the shit out of me, man. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, like, y'all telling me y'all rather date somebody that destroys his own community than date, you know, an atheist? I mean, somebody that's on his feet, that's honest? He don't believe in God. I'm sorry. He don't believe in God. I'm sorry.
And what they don't know is a lot of the guys they dated before didn't believe in God. They didn't know. Either they were lying to him or they just never mentioned it. But believe me, they have come in contact with somebody who felt that way. There's a lot of people in the closet, man. It's just like homosexuality, man. People don't want to say nothing because they know they're going to get cut off and their life is going to be different. But it's mind-blowing, man. What trips me out is when they say, oh, the moon landing was staged. There can never be intelligent life anywhere else in the universe. Oh, that's crazy. Science is blah, 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 blah. But they believe somebody parted the ocean, walked on water, a snake turned into a stick. I spent $5,000 with one sandwich. I mean, no problem believing all of that. But you talk about, you know, life on another planet. Oh, that's impossible. There's no way that can happen. I'm like, really? Really?
Man.
You got the nerd to talk about Harry Potter and talk about all these movies, how ridiculous that is. Don't you know what you believe is the same thing? Oh, man.
You know what I tell them? I normally tell them what now. Normally I hit them with this. I'd be like, I'm like, okay, if he's telling me something wrong with me because I don't believe in God, but you go believe in somebody that pretty much cheated with a married woman, and came here as himself to die for sins he originally created. But I'm wrong. Okay. I like
right,
shit.
Right.
I tell them that shit. Or sometimes I tell them, like, okay, a man and a woman populated the earth in 6,000 years. One man and one woman populated the entire earth in 6,000 years. You actually believe that shit. Like, you saying, you actually tell me that you believe that shit. And I ask them that shit, I look at them, like, you can really sit here and tell me that you fully believe that shit is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some of them, because they try so high. I have seen people, like, you know, force out of year. Like, it's God, man. It's possible. I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
I ask them. I say, well, how do you get all these different ethnicities? Where do Asian people and Native American and Africans and Asian, I mean, all these people come from? Everybody came from the same man and woman. How you got all these nationalities? And then I've heard like 1,000 different theories on that with the Tower of Babel. They all changed. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Overnight, everybody
yeah.
changed ethnicities? Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, well, they evolved in their area. That's why the Africans, they were in the sun a long time. And blah. I'm like, really? And then you're going to use evolution when it fits your needs, but then when anybody else say
yeah.
evolve, you don't want to hear about it. But now you say they evolve. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, I had a debate
right.
3 years ago when I was in Chicago with this dude about Noah's Ark, man, on Blog Talk, man. This dude named Demo Fulton, we did a thing on Noah's Ark, bro. I was like, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
I don't even need to study for this, man. I don't need to study. I can just off the top of my head. Anything you got to say about Noah's Ark, you can hit me with all of this crap. And then, you know, he just was making up stuff, man. He just made up all of his stuff. He didn't cite any legitimate sources. And all of the believers, of course, called in and said, oh, he won. And then, you know, the skeptics called in and backed me up. You know how it is. It's always right. But I
right.
was just like, the stuff they try to use to validate what they believe, man, is so ridiculous. It's pseudoscience, and it's so biased,
yeah.
and it's all the stereotypes, confirmation bias, circular argument,
mm-hmm.
special pleading, all of that crap, man. That's all they do all day, man. I mean, nothing logical is allowed. It has to be faith. It has to be
yeah.
whatever this book
listening.
Says. You just let go of reality, man. I'm sorry, I can't live that way. Even when I was 12 years old, I was like listening to some of this stuff, thinking, what in the hell? Like the story of Job.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst stories I ever heard in my life.
Yo,
when I was a kid,
I hated
that story.
Yo. Job shows God in his true light. This shit is all
mm-hmm.
entertaining for him. I mean, the God of the Bible is no different than Zeus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you know, shit, the Roman and Greek gods were all assholes. they were straight assholes. I mean,
right.
and you notice, like, back then, you know, life in them days, it was petty and cruel. You know, life was still fucked up back then. It wasn't as civilized as it is now, you know.
Right.
And right now, shit, we think shit is still uncivilized in a lot of places. A lot of shit is still wild, you know. But, I mean,
yeah.
damn, so... The stories of the Bible was written to fit that damn time, you know. Shit,
mm-hmm.
it's no difference than Captain America taking on the fucking Hydra. You know what I'm saying? Daredevil taking on motherfucking the Hand, Batman taking on the League.
Mm-hmm.
It's no difference. I mean, but all these organizations, they based off of, you know, so some kind of either another mythology, or they're inspired by true events and shit that's going on at that time. And
right. Right.
I mean, if you look at this shit, dude, yeah, it's an excellent reading. The shit is entertaining as fuck, but I'm not taking this shit from no more than face value. Shit, if I believe in fucking Jesus, I might well believe in goddamn Spider-Man. Hell, he's in New York City.
Well, for entertainment value, I think Greek mythology is way more entertaining than Hebrew mythology, but, you know,
yeah,
to each his own. I mean,
hell
but,
yeah. Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
story,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that story, I used to ask about that in church when I was a kid, man, and they tell me, well, don't forget, God gave him back double what he had. I'm like, well, what about his 10 kids that died? Did they come back to life? Like, oh, no, he had more kids. Why, how the heck is that a good story? You got 10 kids murdered, and so now you're worth $2 billion instead of $1 billion, but your 10 kids are still dead. Man, how the hell can you explain that away? And the whole thing is over a bet. Like, God is saying, oh, let me show off. My boy Joe, he's the man. You can't fuck with him. That was like, oh, yeah, let me do this and this and that. I bet you. It's like an ego, a bragging thing. That's all it was over.
Yeah.
It's like a little
Aesop tale that somebody gave me as a kid. The sun and the north wind, some shit like that. But yeah, it's the same shit. It's the same shit. The sun made a bet with the north wind that he can make a dude take his coat off. And so the wind, like, shit, you want? So the wind blowing, like, you know, the wind's blowing on his ass super hard, just like fucking him up, trying to blow the coat off of him. So he get through.
Wow.
So the sun said, let me show you some shit. So the sun just beamed the damn rays on the dude, said, oh, damn, it's warm outside. It's nice day. He took his coat off and he walked, you know what I'm saying? And he was smiling with it, you know, so.
Yeah.
All the damn time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man, and you know what's funny is that's the only time in the Bible the devil killed anybody. I mean, he's supposed to be a bad guy. But those are the only 10 deaths he was responsible for, and he had God's permission.
In the entire freaking Bible, man. Yes.
But when you count up all of the Bible God deaths, it's like over 2 million he killed, man. That ain't even counting the food. It's like 2-something million. And
he committed
but he's a good guy. He's a merciful, kind, and loving person. I'm like, really?
He's the pioneer of genocide, man. I think he's the pioneer of genocide. He pioneered this. He engineered this shit. He said, let me show you how to do something. y'all like the niggas over there? All these niggas gone.
Right. And dude is killing babies and children and people who just innocent bystanders. I mean, one dude tried to keep the ark from falling and he touched it. You're not supposed to touch it unless you're a priest. He touches it just to keep it from falling. Oh, let me kill this guy. Oh, David and Bathsheba, they fucked up. Let me kill their baby. I'm like, what did the baby do, man? The parents the ones that messed up. Why are you killing the baby?
Yeah. Taking the kids out, too.
And when you bring this up to believers, they always got an excuse to justify it. And then they'll say, well, you can't question God. God can give life and take life whenever you want to. I'm like, okay, fine. And how the hell is that where you get your morals from? How can you claim that's your moral barometer and this thing is going around killing every random thing in sight over every little thing or what the parents or the grandparents did? How is that a moral barometer? Because if me and you did that, we'd get locked up, man. They'd have a lynch mob out for us.
We're done.
Yeah, like Steve Harvey. Where's your moral barometer? It's showing the hell ain't coming from your Bible, dude.
Hell no, I'm just a third or fourth wife. I don't fucking write down this.
Man, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy, man.
But you know what? I laughed at his ass, though. I mean, I laughed at that. Like I told everybody with Steve Harvey about this shit. And I wasn't mad at Steve Harvey. You know what? You can't take him fucking serious. He's a fucking comedian. Shit. You can't really take him serious. I mean, he's not an intelligent comedian like Chris Rock. You know what I'm saying? Or Paul Mooney. No, he's a situational guy.
Right.
He tell you know like little stories and shit, you know what I'm saying? So he's not really intelligent, you know what I'm saying? He wrote, I mean, Think Like a Man, but whatever the hell that book he wrote, come on, dude, he just violated the man code, you know what I'm saying? Like shit, he just dismissed on
there. And I don't even know if he wrote it because he got sued for stealing it from some ladies. So I don't even know if he really wrote that.
Damn. He's a
cook, man. I don't get what the appeal is. They got a dude hosting 5 different shows every day, and I'm like, why? What's the big deal with him? But, hey,
he's entertaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, I give him that shit. You know, I'm a writer. I write, you know, comedy, so maybe that's what it is. So, I mean, I do appreciate his, you know, his work, but like I say, I didn't take him serious. I was just like, he's just talking outside of his fucking neck. And I'm like, I'm not going to take this dude serious. Now, if it was somebody coming from, like I said, like Paul Mooney or Chris Rock, I'd probably be a little pissed off
because
I actually like them guys. I love their work. I idolize them guys. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably be like, oh, hold on, you son of a bitch. Did you really?
Right.
You know, but hell, man, I was like, oh, it's Steve Harvey, man. I'm like, psh, come on, man. Come on. You say, man, I ain't calling for no monkey. You can't call him monkey? How can monkey steal here? Oh, my goodness, Steve. That's like saying, you know, like, Like, why are wolves still here and dogs descendants? I mean, dogs are ancestors of the wolves. They got many different fucking dogs we got. I'm like, I tell people that all the time. I say, man, evolution, that's what it does. What the hell? Shit, look at the elephant in Asia versus the elephant in Africa. That's prime example, motherfucker. Look at a giraffe. Those niggas were hungry,
yeah.
So they had to stretch their necks and get some more food because all the other food was gone. So, you know, bro. Man,
yeah,
man.
Have you had any guests on there, like, you know, on your show that, like, kind of told their story and broke it down?
I mean, not yet. I still want people to call in, man. It's funny, man. People normally call in when there's, like, 10 minutes left, I swear. And so
the
stuff carries over to the – yeah. I mean, but I still be recording. You know, it's just not live anymore. So when the podcast, you know, the next day the podcast is available, some of the conversations still be on there. Like, it was a girl on here, and we were going back and forth about 4th of July for a minute, man. Like, after the show had ended, I just had to hang up on her. Like, you're never going to, you know, can't overtalk me on my shit. Especially when you're not making sense. You just made.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, anybody out there listening, man, you guys want to call in with your stories, numbers out here is 323-642-1668. We got the brother Darrell on the line. Another atheist, black guy. Yeah, we do exist. Black atheists do exist. Matter of fact, yo, check this out, man. So right before you call, I'm about to go into, you know, like I told how I became an atheist. So, you know, basically, you know, down here, man, like you say, you know, you're here, man. This shit, it's crazy to see a black atheist here. And so by this time, man, I think I was I think my first year being an atheist, it was pretty wild. That's when I had, you know, that's when I realized it wasn't going to be easy. People wasn't going to be like, well, you know, I'm going to respect this guy. You know, respect your opinion. I mean, I didn't realize, you know, just how fucking big that shit was. Or, you know, just how, you know, serious people took that shit when I was like, yo, I don't believe in God anymore. It was like I just admitted to, you know, walking into a nursery and stabbing all the toddlers. That, I mean, people, they took it personal. And so I think I developed, and I think for a minute, I did develop that, you know, that angry cliche, the angry atheist cliche.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Like I see some of the new guys, which, and I try to add them, you know. I'm getting back into Adam. At first I stopped, but I'm getting back to adding more younger atheists. I'm 36 now. And, you know, for, you know, let them know, like, yo, you don't have to be so angry about it. You know, everybody's not going to agree with you. Trust me, I've been there. You just concentrate and find people that you know, that think like you and try to build relationships there, you know. It's gonna be challenging because you're gonna have to, you know, the extremists or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I go back and tell them that because that shit was rough, man. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I remember I was on that first year, like, I really didn't know anybody, and I think like maybe like my third or fourth month into it, I was on Black Planet in the ATL group, and a conversation came up in the group about something, and It was like, you know, everybody going back and forth. It was a heated conversation. And I had posted something, and somebody said something, well, that's you going to burn in hell. And I'm like, bitch, I'm an atheist. Right? So, and everybody was like, people get shocked or whatever. But it was one girl that was in there. I'm not going to say her name because she's kind of crazy. But her initials are R. So she hit me on the private message like, yo, I'm an atheist. Are you on Facebook? I'm like, yes, I'm edging on Facebook. I'm going to add you to some atheist groups in Atlanta. I said, for real? She's like, yeah, black atheist groups. So she added me to Black Nonbelievers of Atlanta, you know, by Mandisha or whatever. And she added me to another group.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, this one I seen the spectrum. But, you know, at the point in time, like I said, I've been by myself doing this. You know, I knew a couple of people that were atheists, but for the most part, you know, one of my closest friends, Lord Iceman, he on the show. He's been on the show sometime with me. Lord Iceman, man, we actually fell out. So I knew he was one. I found out he was one when we was in high school. And like, so that was like, you know, shocking for me in high school. Like, yo, this nigga just, I mean, we've been friends at that point in time. We became friends in eighth grade. So we've been, so it was going to like our 12th grade year. And he told me he was an atheist. And, you know, I ain't stopped being his friend. I was shocked. You know, I don't think I ever had a conversation with him, you know. But I did know him, but man, he wasn't talking at the time. And who else? Damn, maybe that was the only person I knew. So that's crazy, right? But so I didn't know anybody. So like I say, it was Black Nonbelievers of Atlanta, and there's this other group. I'm not even going to say the name. Oh my goodness, there was just like it was really like I didn't know it was this crazy. You had one side that was like, you know, there was cool, there was intelligent, they wasn't really radical, you know. And you had this other side. These motherfuckers want to blame everything on a white man. They didn't believe in God or Jesus, none of that. They want to blame everything on a white man, including homosexuality. So I was like, yo, these niggas is ignorant. Let me get about this damn group. So, yeah, for real, bro. Like, man, you know what I'm talking about, man. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, them extreme, like, black atheists, yeah. Like, the militant motherfuckers, man. Like, dude, like, you're going to trip and fall on a knife and hurt yourself. That's how they are. Like, they just, like, what the fuck? So I got out of that group, right? I immediately said, I was like, no, this is not what I want. Even though I was angry as shit at the damn time. But everybody else, it was really cool. So I went to a couple of events, met some people. I'm still in contact with a lot of them now. And this has been 7 years, man. But, yeah, so I followed them, whatever, you know, and it was pretty cool. I saw, you know, finding a little peace there or whatever. And so by that time, I was like, you know, I went through that phase where I posted, you know, like, you know, the memes left and right. The anti-religious memes, I did all that, whatever. And one day I just was like, you know what? Man, fuck all that shit, man. I'm not going to sit up here and keep trying to, you know, convince people to join the cause, you know, or trying to make people leave. I mean, for what? You know, that's like running on the... I'm doing the exact same thing they are. It's impossible. Everybody's not going to wake up. They're not. You know, some people are happy. They're comfortable. They're ignorant. They're going to stay religious. That's them. If it makes them happy, that's fine and dandy. Me, personally, I'm trying to do shit, you know, for the atheist community, especially for us, you know, because we're rare, you know, but more of us are coming out now, but I decided, you know, do shit like now, like all of my, everything I write comedic-wise, my screenplays, everything pretty much centers around black atheists. You feel me? And
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I decided to do, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, I mean, think about it, you see it all the time. I mean, you know, we see so many, you know, like so much. Most of the time, a lot of atheists online, you know, we whine a lot about religion still. I mean, I'm like, shit, let that shit go. Leave them niggas alone. Let them have that bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, we should work towards getting our community up, man. Oh, I'm high, by the way, dude. So, yeah. You smoke?
Nah, shit, I don't.
Yo. If there was a guy, he did something right, if there was one, because marijuana is awesome.
This
show is rated R, by the way. So. Yeah, man. So
okay.
How are you out there in L.A., though, man? You're in L.A., so, dude, I mean.
No,
I'm not in L.A.
I'm not in L.A.
Oh, wait,
I'm in Sacramento. Yeah.
You're Sacramento?
Yeah, I just got an L.A. number, but, yeah.
Okay.
I was born and raised in L.A., but. Yeah, I'm in Sacramento now, man. I go out to the Bay Area a lot. Sacramento was pretty lame, man. I mean, if they didn't have a basketball team, nobody would know this city exists. You know? Yeah, it's. I don't know why it's the capital, but hey, you know, it is what it is. But I like the Bay Area, though, man. I'm probably gonna move back out there, man, later this year. And but I was in Atlanta for 10 years, man, and I tell you, man, it is definitely the Bible Belt. It is a trip down there, man. Trying to date, man, out there, down there, blah. I was down there 10 years, man. I think I had maybe 6 dates in 10 years, man. In 6 dates.
Oh, my God. Yo, hey, man.
And then
I've been looking.
Yeah. But it's crazy. As soon as I moved back to Cali, I found out about the Black Nonbelievers group, and I found out about all these black women atheists down there. And I was like, where the hell were y'all when I was there? I was there 10 years. I couldn't find a single black atheist group. As soon as I get out of there, I find about 1,000 of them. I was so mad, man. I was so mad. I was like, what in the hell? Where were y'all? But, you know, hey, that's what happens, man. And then if I left Cali, there'd probably be a 10,000 that I didn't know about out here as soon as I got somewhere else. So that's life.
Yeah, it is rough out here. I mean, I just say, you know what? I just made a decision. Like, every woman I talk to, whatever, I tell them beforehand. I told my girlfriend now. I told my girlfriend, I said, yo, look, I'm an atheist. All right? But these on my page, too, though, so that shit is obvious. So if you join my friend, if you're my friend on Facebook, if you don't know I'm a fucking atheist, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Because they say obvious, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, like any woman I meet, any woman that I was dating, I let her know off the get go. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, look, I don't believe in God. You can't change my mind about it. I don't like having a conversation. We talk about a million other things besides that shit.
They don't want to have a conversation. I had a few women that tried to tell me some shit about it, and once I started dropping logic and science on them, they hated my guts. Because I said, look, if we talk about this, I'm coming at you with both barrels, and I guarantee you, you'll change your mind before I change mine. You'll be a non-believer before I ever even consider becoming a believer again. So if you don't want to lose your faith, don't talk to me about this, because I will hurt you. And they usually don't say nothing to me after that, because after the first 5 minutes I start talking, it's just like there's nothing else they can say.
Damn, for dude. You. You just go in off the get-go, man. You go right for the throat.
Man, man, that was my favorite hobby. Back when you talk about Black Planet, back in the day, that was my favorite hobby, was clowning folks in a religious room. I mean, I try to be polite and respectful about it, but, man, I know I definitely clown some things, man. I was on there from 04 to, like, 2010. You know, I skipped my space. I went straight from Black Planet to Facebook, man. But
dude,
I was on there
Black Planet
thing.
When it very first started. I still have my Black Planet page from, I still have my Black Planet page from 2001. Kirkwood Black, 2001. I still have that page.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really get hip to it, man, until 04. I was on there, man. In fact, I started a free thinking group on there, man. I think it was the only one that was ever on there, man, called Free Thinkers New Trinity. I started that one back in 06. We had about 900 members, but we had Christians coming in there all the time trying to talk to us, man. And I was like, hey, come on in, let's talk about it. But when I try to go on one of their groups and say something, man, they ban me immediately. I was like, see, I don't ban y'all. I welcome you guys into my group, but y'all would ban me, man. But I used to be in the RS forum, man, every day, like 8 hours a day. I was addicted, man. I had to break off of that, man. I was on there all the time. When I wasn't sleep or working, I was on there, bro. And I was notorious. I was infamous at one time, man. Everybody knew my name on there for a hot minute, man. I was Mitch 924, and I was like, you know, because it's like a small pond. The Black Planet only had like 17 million members, and it wasn't nothing like, you know, MySpace, where they had 300 million and Facebook got 1 billion. But it was still, you know, a lot of Black folks on there, so it was a cool little set for a minute, but then it died out. Now it's tumbleweeds, but I used to have a lot of fun on there, man. But even some of the Christians I argue with, I was cool with, you know, friends with. But it was a trip, man. It was just too much, man. I was just too addicted. I had to finally wean myself off of that, man.
Oh man, I don't know why it's going on there, but I go every now and then and check my account just to see what it looked like. That shit still up, but.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a total brain fart. So, yeah, that's some good shit. So, man, Sacramento, dude. So, how is it out there, like, atheist wise, like for Black people? Or, do you find more Black people out there that are non-believers?
There's a few. You know, it's a little more liberal, of course, than down south. But there's a one group called Black Freethinkers of Sacramento, but they only got like 10 members. I would, I follow them on Bookface, but they don't really have a whole lot of stuff going on, activities or whatnot. But I met Mandiza when she came out here 2 years ago and gave us a speech in front of the Capitol. And I met her, you know, we took a picture and whatnot, talked a little bit. I bought one of her T-shirts and, you know, she dropped a little science. But, you know, they got a way bigger thing going on down there than they do in Sacramento.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. The black non-believers, the movement altogether, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's a trip, man. They got a bigger one down there than they do in California.
I think because, you know, it's a little bit more relaxed there. So down here, something like that, the support down here is needed a tad bit more because, you know, religion, like you say, it's the Bible Belt. So, you know, it's a tad bit more stricter here. So, you know, people that, you know, that don't believe, they need, you know, a safe haven to go to where they don't keep defending them themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's needed more here. That's probably why, you know, there's more members here. It's more active here than it is out there. Because, like, I mean, like, when I hear Austin, Texas, I hear Cali. For some odd reason, I just be like, oh, shit, like, the AC is heaven or some shit. I know they're not, like, I know it's not, there's no stranglehold there with religion. You know, so. You see the difference, though.
Yeah, there's they don't have like as high a black population here as it is in Atlanta. I mean, the chocolatiest city in Cali is probably Oakland, and Oakland is probably, I think it's only like 35 or 40% black, but that probably is where the largest concentration of black folks is in the state. Because L.A. got little areas here and there, but it ain't like, you know, one big giant area like Oakland. So if I was to go out there and try to organize, it wouldn't work, man, because they all are, you know, Jesus freaks out there, man.
Yeah, L.A.?
I mean, they more liberal, but, well, no, I'm talking about Oakland.
Really?
Yeah, Oakland. Yeah. Well, because, you know, Oakland is, that's probably the blackest city in Cali, but still a lot of believers. You ain't going to find too many skeptics out there amongst them, not amongst the black folks, man. I mean, most of the skeptics out here are white or Asian. So it's a needle in the haystack, man.
So is dating easier out there, though, than it is here?
I mean, there's a lot of believers, but they're not as hung up on it as people in the South. They kind of like, if you don't bring it up, it probably won't ever come up. You could probably be a non-believer and just never say nothing, and they never really trip on it. But, like, when I was out there, the first thing I was asked numerous times, do you believe in God? And I'm like, is she asking me that? I mean, am I giving off some kind of vibe? What's up? I mean, and I just tell them straight up, no, I don't. And it's like, okay, but I'm being honest. I could lie and tell them what they want to hear, but I don't get down like that. I don't want to waste each other's time, so I just, whatever, man. But out here, you know, it's you know, a lot more interracial couples and whatnot. You know, a lot of gay couples. You know, pretty much anything goes. But yeah, they're a little more. If you don't believe, it's not as big a deal out here as it is out there. It's just that, you know, you just don't find as many black folks that are willing to be upfront about it out here. So they, you know, in the closet, like you said. So it's challenging, man. I think if you're a non-believer, if you're a black man, non-believer, you got to be wide open, though. You got to be open to dating any ethnicity, because if you're trying to stay black, you're going to have very few options. And I've always had a strong preference for black women. I still do, but realistically, I got to be open to other women too, because if not, I'll be ass out. You know?
Yep.
So, yeah, man, that's how it is.
So I am finding like a lot of younger people are, you know, are coming out as non-believers. Like, I think that's pretty good.
That's a good thing, because they thinking for themselves, they're using their brains, and they're like reading this stuff, and they're like, what in the hell? I even saw that video. Remember that Jesus Camp thing they got going on? You ever see that Jesus Camp on YouTube? I saw a 10-year-old kid on there, and he was like asking the counselor, he was like, am I supposed to believe this for real? And they were looking at him like something was wrong with him, but he was like really seriously skeptical, like, he was mentioning stuff in there like Noah's Ark. I mean, there's no way. And then he was talking about how do these people come back to life. He was asking, and they would look at him like he was just like this kid's going to be a problem, but he was just using his brain and being logical.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with that? They should encourage. I'm like, how are you going to try to indoctrinate and force this stuff on these kids? I'm like, if you don't teach them about Christianity, teach them about all the religions, or don't teach them about none and let them find it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to be Christian. You got to believe Jesus.
Yep, and they swear that they're not trying to force down anybody's throat. You know, they swear that.
Yeah, it's not brainwashing. It's just doing the right thing. It's like these parents that don't believe in medical treatment for themselves, but they won't let their kids have it either. I'm like, look, if you grown and you don't want to see a doctor, that's their choice. But how are you going to tell keep a 5-year old from going to a doctor and saving their life because you have different beliefs? Let them see a doctor, then when they grow, they can decide if they want to change to what you're doing or not. It's crazy, man. Kids dying because their parents are insane, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but if I did, I'd be like, hit 911 right on the spot, man, or do what I can myself. You know, I'm a medical professional. I'd do whatever I could do, and then if I can't handle it, I'll take it to a hospital.
Yeah. I say they feel sick, they're going. I take mine quickly. I'm like, yo, you sweat? Let's go. Get in the car. I don't blame the hell.
Right, man.
That's it. They trying to get that. You know that's that man faith, man. That's some scary shit, dude. Like faith is some scary shit. Like people do what people do for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very dangerous thing, man. I don't think people, you know, and when it's done, you know. Whether it's, you know, an Islamic person doing it or a Christian doing it, it don't matter. I mean, the shit is, it's all a fucking thing. And they don't seem to get that. This shit is all done because of faith.
Yeah.
So the same shit.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you know, it really blows my mind if you see somebody call themselves being pro-black and they're still a Christian. I'm like, don't you know that all of that Jim Crow slavery stuff, is Christianity is a major part of that? How you gonna say you're pro black and you're a Christian and your savior is a white guy, you know, who don't look nothing like anybody from the Middle East I ever seen, and you trying to say you pro black and you're talking about slavery and Jim Crow and all of that? Christianity was the blueprint of Jim Crow. It's a major contradiction. Call yourself a Christian and try to say you pro-black or anti-slavery or whatever you want to call it.
I saw you in my head right now. That's exactly what I think.
Man, yeah, but they don't get it. They can't separate the two, man. They can't separate. And then I always question people, if anybody that's a judge, a scientist, a doctor, a law enforcement, you have to use weigh evidence and use logic and critical thinking in your job all the time to make major decisions, but you still can't apply that same critical thinking to your religious belief or to your Bible, your Quran, or whatever it is you follow. I don't get it. Why can't you do the same thing? If evidence leads you to find that this person could not have committed this crime because of this, this, and this, why can't you follow the evidence on this doctrine? There's all kinds of clues and information out there.
One thing I think it is, I mean, it's like, you know, like, some people, like we wasn't afraid to wake up. We woke up, okay, we seen the shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's a journey. Like, how long you say it took you, like, what, like 15 years? So, you know, it took me shit. I saw a question, like, I was young, like I said, I mean, I really didn't, 7 years ago was when I finally got rid of religion. You know what I'm saying? It's been 7 years now. So, I kind of look at it, you know, like everybody can handle the truth, or some people truly, they truly, truly are comfortable in their own ignorance. I mean, they just, they need that shit. Like, it's crazy as it sounds. Yeah, they can't function without it. I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
crazy as it is, you know, Yeah, I mean, you know what? I seen it years ago. That's why I said I seen this. I was like, you know what? You know what? If me trying to wake some of these people up is the hamster wheel. It's like me running on a hamster wheel. Everything they need is right there, but they're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you seen Logan's Run. You seen Logan's Run, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Remember the ending when he was like, when he told the people, you can go this way, you have to do this shit?
Yeah.
And they were just like,
they didn't
listen. They said, fuck it. They was cool, right?
They went.
I mean,
go to paradise or whatever it was, but.
Yeah,
I remember the movie, yeah.
I vaguely remember the movie, you know what I'm saying? But I know for a fact, you know, that part, I remember that part. And, dude, like, some people, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, actually are. And, you know, then it's also the age and the time thing. Shit. That's what I'm saying. I'm seeing more young people. But that's why I say I'm seeing more younger people now of color that's waking up and that's denouncing religion. I'm saying it more often with the younger generation than I've seen with my generation and with y'all. You know, like I'm 36 now, so I mean, like I said, it took me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's encouraging. I'm glad younger people are woke on that and questioning stuff because it's dangerous, man. I mean, the world is jacked up as it is now. Is a lot. Most of that is because of these religious beliefs. I mean, I think scientifically we'd be about 1,000 years ahead of where we are right now if it wasn't for religious suppression, you know, trying to say, you know, don't do this, you know, they
fuck the world up.
Yeah, exactly, man. And they think, oh, we can do whatever
fuck the world up, man.
We can fix everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can pollute, we can destroy, we can do all of this mess, all these damn wars, all these religious wars. It's crazy, man. I mean, we'd probably be living like Star Trek right now if it wasn't for all that crap.
We'd probably
be able to fly across the galaxy, man, and have four other planets we could be living on instead of everybody. This planet, man, we get about 10 billion, it's going to be all over, man. We already 7.5. We can't even, if we get past 10 billion, we ain't going to be able to support that many people. If we even make it to 10 billion, man, I mean, it's crazy, bro. We definitely need to accelerate our technology, man, because this planet is going to be ass out in about 50 years. We don't have to go somewhere else because we're going to all be out of here, man.
Hey, Al Gore said it best. Al Gore, like, man, for some odd reason, people got this concept like, we just can mess this world up and get on a space shuttle to fly to another one. No, it don't work like that.
Yeah,
Al Gore had just said that. Like, people got this concept.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, oh,
we're talking about Mars. What you gonna do on Mars? Mars cannot sustain life. Nothing grows there. There's no water, no oxygen. Mars ain't the answer. We need
let someone tell it's already a colony on Mars. You ever heard of that theory? Like JFK runs a colony on Mars. MLK is on his colony. Malcolm X is on the colony. They're like the head of the council for this colony on Mars. Life lasts longer on Mars for some odd reason, but Tupac and Biggie is on Mars. Michael Jackson is now on Mars. You ever heard this shit before? You ever heard this?
Nah, bro, that's a new one on me.
Dude,
how did they get there?
It's a portal. It's a portal. It's a portal somewhere. There's a great link. There are books on this shit. Well,
wow.
Hey, look.
That's a new one, man.
Wow.
That is crazy. I never heard that one, man. But, hey, it don't sound no crazier than that one about the Mormons. You ever see that part, that little animated thing about the Mormons, about how they came from another planet and they flew to Earth and did, oh, man. That's just...
Yeah. Well, look,
that's insane.
We got like 10 seconds left on the podcast. We got like 10 seconds left on the podcast.
Okay.
Man.
You almost out?
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. We have Brother Darrell Mitchell on the line with us. You got anything to say, homie?
All right, man. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, man. I appreciate the talk, man.
Okay.
All right, y'all. Until next time, folks, y'all be good.